Welcome to Wall Street Unspun with your host, Peter Schiff.
But it's a giant bubble in search of a pin, and it's going
to
find one.
Are you confused with the ups and downs of the economy and what it means to you?
Don't believe the propaganda, and that's what it is. When you're listening to an analyst on a lot of these popular financial shows, you're not getting investment advice. You're getting propaganda.
Get ready to untangle the web of misinformation provided by the mainstream media.
These firms are trying to sell you stocks. Their real clients, their banking clients, are trying to get rid of stuff.
And now, here's your host of Wall Street Unspun, the president of Euro Pacific Capital and a licensed broker with a passion for truth. It's Wall Street Unspun with Peter Schiff.
Hi, this is Peter, and welcome to Wall Street Unspun. This is Wednesday, November 10th. And this is a live broadcast, and again, we invite you to call to participate in the discussion today and ask questions or interject your comments. The number to call a toll-free to participate in the broadcast is 888-678-9597. That's 888-678-9597. And I would invite, you know, all any Euro Pacific Capital clients to call to discuss, their accounts or, you know, what's happening in their account or ask any questions, as well as any potential clients who may be listening who have questions about accounts they have at other firms or about what's going on with their money. Anyway, what we want to talk about this hour, I'd like to talk quite a bit about the jobs report that came out on Friday. And this is the first time since I've had this program, we've been doing the program for about 3 months, and this is the first time that the jobs numbers came out better than Wall Street had anticipated, where more jobs were created than what they had been looking for. So far, every report that we've had has been the opposite. They've come out with fewer jobs than had been forecast. And I was expecting another such report, and this is the first time I was wrong on that. We did have a report that was better than what they estimated. But I take issue with the fact that the report actually reflected or evidenced a strong U.S. economy. In fact, when I looked at that report, it showed me the exact opposite. It showed me an imbalanced economy continuing to move out of kilter. And the reason I say this is that we created almost about 300,000 new jobs, but all of them were in the service sector. We actually lost manufacturing jobs. We lost another 5,000. Now, people might think, well, you know, what's the difference? A job's a job. Well, no, it's not. Because manufacturing jobs actually produce stuff. Most of the service sector jobs don't produce anything. They're services. And all of the people who are performing these services want products. They all want all the consumer goods. They want food and clothing. They want consumer electronics, they want gasoline, but none of them are producing them. Which means if 300,000 more Americans found in service sector employment, that's 300,000 more people that are going to have to import products because they're not making anything. So the result of having more service sector employment means that we have more people that aren't producing but that still want to consume, which means our trade deficit is going to get bigger, which means the current account deficit gets bigger, which means the real problems confronting the United States are going to get worse. And so this jobs data, rather than reflecting this resurgent U.S. economy, really reflects the underlying fundamental problems with the U.S. economy, and it shows that we're digging ourselves deeper into the hole. We haven't even stopped digging yet. That's the problem. And a lot of the people on Wall Street were kind of surprised by the reaction of the dollar. Because even though we had a better-than-expected number, the dollar fell. It fell sharply. And in fact, today the dollar hit a new all-time record low against the euro. The euro traded above $1.30 for the first time ever. And that's one thing that hasn't changed. I've been doing this show for 3.5 months, and every time I take the air, the dollar is worth less than the week before. And I mentioned this before, that since I've been on this show, the dollar has lost better than 2% of its value per month, and it's continuing to do so. And if we're going to keep creating these non-productive service sector jobs, the trade deficit can only get bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's ultimately what's putting pressure on the dollar. We had the release today of a trade deficit report came out today. And, you know, Wall Street liked to report the news as if it were good news because they were expecting a $53 billion deficit and we only got a $51.5 billion deficit. You know, so that's like a child coming home with his report card and his parents were expecting an F minus, but he only got an F. And he's trying to tell them how great it is that he got an F instead of an F minus. I mean, a $51.5 billion trade deficit is a disaster. Even a $40 billion, a $30 billion trade deficit is a disaster. We're now coming out monthly with trade deficits above $50 billion. This is enormous. That's $50 billion we're dumping on the world. You know, onto a world that's already drowning in a sea of dollars. They don't even want the dollars they've got, let alone the $50 billion that we're dumping on them every month. And the only thing standing between the dollar and worthlessness, and I've mentioned this many times on these shows, are foreign central banks, particularly Asian central banks, specifically in Beijing and Tokyo, but also in Singapore and in South Korea and in Thailand and in Indonesia, in India, all over the world, central banks are buying dollars because nobody in their right mind, no private citizen with his own money would buy them. So these central banks are buying them with taxpayers' money because politically they think this is something they have to do. They think they need to prop up the United States so we can keep consuming because they think it's in their interest to support us, and it's not. Because if we stop consuming, they can start consuming. All the products that we're consuming are products that they could consume if it weren't for the fact that we were outbidding them for those products. If they let our currency collapse, they would inherit our wealth. The purchasing power that we lose, they'd gain. That's what they don't understand. And I think the world is going to come to this understanding relatively soon. And I've made this point before, but you, the listener, the American saver, you've got to come to this conclusion, this realization now. Because if you arrive at this conclusion too late, it's all over. I mean, if you do not get rid of your dollars now, if you do not take those dollars and buy real assets now, while there are still people around the world foolish enough to exchange their real assets for your worthless IOUs, then you're out of luck, right? When the music stops, whatever dollars you're stuck with, that's it. Like I mentioned in one of the shows that I did months ago, an article I read about the Beanie Babies, you know, where the Beanie Babies were now worthless, and the inventor of the company mentioned that when somebody asked him, well, what can I do with all my Beanie Babies, he replied by saying, well, if you stick them in a wall, they make good insulation. You do not want to have to be asking me, well, what should I do with all my dollars? And I tell you, well, you know, you can stick them in a wall, or you can, you know, maybe they make good kindling for the fire. But you want to, right now, you can buy real assets with them. And that's what you want to do. You want to go around the world and you want to buy the safest assets that you can, denominated in foreign currencies that have good yields. You want to do exactly what Warren Buffett is doing. You want to do exactly what Bill Gross is doing. You want to do exactly what Sir John Templeton is doing. You want to do what George Soros is doing. You want to do what Jimmy Rogers are doing. These are five very wealthy, self-made, either billionaires or, you know, million, very, very, you know, multi-millionaires who are doing and saying the same thing. They are getting rid of their dollars. You know, Warren Buffett is sitting on practically $40 billion U.S. dollars worth of foreign currencies at Berkshire Hathaway. Why is Warren Buffett doing this? I mean, what does he know that you don't know? Right? He knows what I'm telling you. He knows the dollar is going to collapse, and he wants to stay rich. And he knows if he wants to stay one of the richest men of the world, he's going to have the currencies that aren't going to collapse. Because if Warren Buffett were foolish enough to leave his money in U.S. dollars in a few years, he would drop off the Forbes list. Now, you know, if you're out there listening to this program and you want to maintain your wealth, if you want to maintain some semblance of your current living standard, you have got to protect yourself. You know, I had a long conversation with a reporter today, and still, a lot of people still don't understand the connection. People are asking me, what difference does it make? Why should we care if the dollar goes down? I mean, it's unbelievable that people can think that way. You know, every time I look at a reporter on the television And there's a lot of reports about the dollar now, because the dollar makes a new low almost every day, so it's something that people talk about. But when I hear it spoken about on television, it's always from the perspective of why it's such a bad thing for Japan. Or, oh no, China's in trouble because the dollar's going up. They never report it from the perspective of how it's a problem for Americans, but this is ridiculous. I mean, we're the Americans depend on the purchasing power of the dollar. That's their currency. Their salaries are in dollars, right? Their pensions are in dollars. Their Social Security is in dollars. Their life insurance is in dollars. Their annuities are in dollars. Their whole life is dollar. Their ability to consume rests on the value of the dollar. You hear the media, as the dollar is falling and falling and falling, all they report about is how it's bad news for the Japanese or the Chinese. I mean, that'd be like, you know, you own stock in General Motors and the share price is plummeting and the news keeps reporting on how bad this is for Ford. But it doesn't talk anything about the shareholders of General Motors. And they're the ones whose stock are collapsing. Because that's what, I mean, the dollar is like stock in the United States. It's another way of looking at it. And the dollar is collapsing. This is bad, right? It's not, what's good is a strong currency, right? Anybody can have a weak currency. You just print it. Right? All these little countries in Africa, you know, these banana republics in Latin America, they've got very weak currencies. It's very easy to have a weak currency. Right? You just print it, and it goes down. What's difficult is to have a strong currency. Right? And a strong currency is a sign of a vibrant, healthy, productive economy. All the economies in the world that have grown to become, you know, dominant economies, or that have good economies, that have growing standard of living, they all have rising currencies. The countries that have falling currencies are countries that are in trouble. Countries that used to be rich but are becoming impoverished. Or countries that never were rich, that are just run by these dictators that, you know. So this is ridiculous. This is a terrible sign. The fact that the dollar is falling and it's on life support is not a sign that there's problems in Europe or Asia. It's a sign that there's real serious problems here in the United States. And what you have to do as a saver or investor is you gotta think for yourself. You gotta realize that you're being spoon-fed propaganda by Wall Street and by the government, and they're trying to convince you that everything is fine, right? It's like you're like a frog, and they're boiling you in water, and they're trying to convince you that the temperature isn't rising, so you stay in the pot. What I'm telling you is you gotta get out before it's too late, and that's what I can do at Euro Pacific Capital. That's what I've been doing for a number of years with my clients. I've been educating people as to the real risks associated with a weakening dollar. I've been showing people how the government is lying to the public about the state of the economy, about the true rate of inflation. You know, it's amazing that, you know, so many people just accept at face value government numbers. And why would people just have such a hard time assuming that the government's lying? I mean, first of all, who's the government? It's a bunch of politicians. Well, that's what politicians do. They lie. That's how they get elected. They lie, right? That's what they are. They're professional liars. If they told the truth, they wouldn't be in office. So why is it so hard to believe that they don't give out accurate information when it comes to something like inflation, especially when they have such a vested interest in lying about inflation? Because if the government accurately reported the inflation rate, they would be broke. Because if the government told the truth about how high inflation really is, if they told the truth about what the inflation rate is, they couldn't afford to pay the interest on the national debt. Because they'd have to pay, you know, a much higher rate of interest. They got a $7.5 trillion debt financed with treasury bills. They couldn't afford it. There's no way they can't afford to tell the truth. They've got to lie. But, I mean, economic data, traditionally, countries all around the world throughout history have lied to the people about the state of their economy. They don't want the people to understand how bad things are. They want them to think it's good, so they keep reelecting them. And, of course, Wall Street wants everybody to think things are great so they can keep selling them their stocks and their bonds. But you've got to think for yourself. You've got to listen to what I'm saying. And then you've got to act, right? That's the most important thing. It's not just agreeing with what I'm saying, but it's actually acting on what I'm saying, and not just with a small amount of money. You know, there's a lot of clients, and maybe some of you are listening to this program, who have only sent us a small amount of money. And despite the fact that we've given you phenomenal returns on that money over the years, you still have a lot of money at other firms still in U.S. dollars. You've got to realize the severity of the problems facing the United States and that you don't have a second chance at this. Once the dollar collapses, that's it. You can't turn back time. You know, you can't get the purchasing power back into it once it's gone. So you've got to preserve your wealth now while you still have the opportunity. You've got to get rid of those dollars before other people don't want them anymore. You know, because once the world wakes up to this, it's all over, right? The dollar's just going to collapse because there's not going to be anybody who wants it. Once the central banks step out of the way and the public and the people around the world understand this, and once the Americans themselves understand it, they're not going to want dollars either. Everybody's just going to try to get rid of them as fast as they have them, and the prices are just going to spiral out of control. So people have to do something now where they've got a chance, and they can do that by either opening up an account with Euro-Pacific Capital if they don't have one, or adding to your account if you already do. Now, I know we've got one of our clients on the line right now. I think he called the program last week, Cornel Grevery out in North Carolina. You there? Hello?
Peter, this is Cornel Grevery calling from the Queen City, Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yes, can Mr. Grevery.
Oh, yeah. Look, I've been like a cat on a hot tin roof concerning the delinquency of the dollar. And I did a little digging earlier today because a lot of people call in and indicating that they don't have anything to invest. But that's not necessarily true because I came up with some monies that I have going into a direct deposit in a local bank. And I called in and spoke with Christian earlier today. She's going to send me the paperwork so that I can channel that money into my account and get it out of the dollars. Now, yesterday I received my quarterly statement, and I went ballistic because the last period, I think I had about $112,000, something like that, and now this period I have about $124,000. So I'm just like a clown parading around in jubilation. And I just want to make a comment on that because
last week you mentioned that you only started with about $25,000.
I only started with that. This is fact. This is truth. This is no make-believe. And I am just elated, Peter.
Yeah, and as I said, you know, it's not a reflection of how well the investments that we bought have performed. It's really a reflection of how poorly the U.S. dollar has performed, because that's a measurement. You can see how much the dollar has lost value by noticing how many more dollars your account is now worth, because you have the same assets that you started with, just that the dollar has lost so much value in relationship to those assets.
Well, let me ask you this question.
It's only going to get worse for the dollar.
Let me ask you this question. I'll let you go. Concerning the foreign countries like China, Taiwan, and other foreign nations, concerning the dollar, pulling away from the dollar, is there a time frame, as far as you know, where this will escalate and snowball and really get big?
You know, future? People ask me that question all the time. A lot of reporters ask me that question. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, I just I'm not smart enough to figure that out. I know how this show is going to end. I just don't know, or I know where the journey is going to end. I know the destination. I don't exactly know the path that we're going to take to reach that destination, but we're going to reach it. And I have a feeling that the dollar will continue to decline slowly until it declines rapidly, because at some point it's just going to collapse. And whether that's today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, I don't know. The one thing I know for sure is that the further into the future the collapse comes, the more dramatic and the worse it's going to be, and the more important it is that you don't have any dollars. And so I just like to assume that it's going to collapse tomorrow and not own any dollars and just not take that kind of risk.
Right. I agree with you full heartedly. That's the reason why I did some digging around. So for all those that are listening and saying, well, I don't have anything, if they do some digging around, they'll come up with some monies.
Yeah, and people, you know, when I look at these the news programs and people are talking about, you know, what this stock is and did this company beat the earnings numbers and, you know, how should we allocate, should we buy, should we be in this stock? Or
bunch of baloney.
All of that is like the classic example of rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. None of it matters, because it doesn't matter which of these stocks or which of these bonds you own. They're all dollar assets, and they're all going to collapse. So it's none of this stuff is important. It's all a bunch of noise. The only thing that matters is that you get off. It's like it doesn't matter where you're sitting on the Titanic. what matters is that you get off. So it doesn't matter if you're in, cyclicals or consumers or, you know, growth, or if you're in fixed high, you know, junk bonds or high quality. They're all, no matter what asset class Wall Street's going to put you in, you're going to get killed because they're all in the same U.S. currency. All you got to do, and all people have to do, is recognize this. And, you know, all you can throw a dart at a safe stock. All you got to do is buy a real estate trust, a utility, a government bond, just a safe yielding stock in any of these sound countries, and you're going to so outperform anything in the United States.
Correctly. You know, and using that analogy of the deck on the Titanic, you know, when it struck the iceberg, that there were those still in the dancing room dancing while the ship was sinking, because they just couldn't conceive of this unsinkable ship sinking. But I'm
right, and people, most,
I'm not going to get on in the first
that
place.
Illusion with respect to the United States. They think that this economy is something that it's not. They're living in the delusions of the past. See, America was a mighty country at one time. We were an industrial powerhouse. We flooded the world with low-cost, high-quality goods. We had a country with limited government, and because we had low regulation and low taxations, we created a living standard and wealth that nobody else in the world could match. And while the rest of the world were living spots and monarchs, Americans were free from government and were able to produce and flood the world with products. And that's the country that people remember, still think that they're living in. But that's a fantasy. You know, today we have as much regulation, as much taxation as everybody else, and we're not producing.
That's correct, Peter. So I tell you what, I'm not going to even get on the Titanic in the first place.
Well, that's right. I mean, I'm trying to get people into the lifeboats. Well, thanks again for your call and listening, and try to, you know, send us some referrals and tell some more people about the program.
I do.
Anyway, let's take a break here and play a message that lets you know how you can get in touch with Euro Pacific Capital and hopefully achieve the type of success that the caller achieved. And we'll pick up the show back at the other end of the break.
Euro Pacific Capital is an independent brokerage firm on a mission to inform its client base and prospective clients about economic and market events that could affect their financial security. Euro Pacific Capital seeks to provide solutions which are intended to provide safety, not risk. Solutions designed to protect our clients and their families from the U.S. government and its inflationary practices. The time to act is now, while you still have the opportunity to get your money out of the dollar. It's legal to do so, and after a consultation with one of Euro Pacific's brokers, you will understand how this decision could ensure your financial security. We offer a full array of services ranging from retirement and trust accounts to complete financial planning, checking accounts with or without debit cards, and life insurance, even annuities. With our independent, no-nonsense investment advice that's a cut above the run-of-the-mill commentary that is passed for research for far too long on Wall Street, we suspect investors will find a home at Euro Pacific Capital.
Well, we're back. Again, I want to invite people to call the program. I'd like to have some new callers, people maybe who haven't called the program before. Let me know that we're picking up some new listeners. I definitely like to know that I'm making an impact here, that new people are tuning in and listening to the program. I also want to, you know, like to know that the clients are out there listening and that they're finding value in this in these discussions. The telephone number to call live is 888-678-9597. That's 888-678-9597. You know, another thing that happened this week with the dollar falling is that gold rose to a new 16-year high this morning. The price of gold was trading at around $438 an ounce. It ended up backing off a little bit later on in the day, and it didn't close at a new high, but it still traded at a new 16-year high. And I think that is going to continue. I've talked at great length over the last few months on this program about the new bull market in gold and the fact that you know, people should be moving money into gold. And you know, the media, whenever they focus on the rise in gold, they try to attribute gold's rise to speculation on terrorism, to uncertainty, just momentum traders. They don't understand the real reason that people are buying gold, and it has nothing to do with terrorism. And the reason I know this for sure is because I'm buying gold. See, the people on CNBC, the news, who are talking about why people are buying gold, they're not buying any gold, right? So they're just speculating on why they think people are buying gold, but they're not buying any. And I can assure you that the reason that most people are buying gold has nothing to do with terrorism or any of that. It has to do with a desire to preserve wealth and a preference for real gold as opposed to paper. It has to do with a lack of confidence in the U.S. dollar and the U.S. government's ability to keep the supply of dollars scarce. You know, we went through a period of time over the last 20 years or so where we had a high degree of confidence in central banks and paper assets, and so gold was on the back burner, and nobody was paying attention to it. But over the last few years, that confidence, which was very misplaced, is now beginning to go away, and people are beginning to resume some healthy skepticism of governments and central banks. And as such, people around the world are deciding that they do not want to save U.S. currency. They would rather save gold. They see gold as a better store of value, which, of course, it is. And so that's why the price of gold is rising. But the people on Wall Street are clueless about the real reason why gold is going up. But it is going up, and I continue to recommend that anybody who's listening to this that doesn't own gold, they own it. I mean, everybody's got to have some gold, and we will help you buy gold the cheapest way that we know, which is through the Perth Mint program in Australia, which allows you to buy your gold, either gold, silver, or platinum, to buy it at the spot price, and to have it stored for free in a mint owned by the government of Western Australia. So you've got a sovereign, you know, government guaranteeing your account in a first world country like Australia, and they're not charging you shipping, they're not charging you storage. It's a great way to own the physical bullion. There's no leverage involved. It's a very conservative way, the least risky, least costly way I know for anybody to own gold. And, you know, when we first started this program a few months ago, gold was probably trading around 400, and, you know, it's 10% higher. And I would certainly, you know, that's a big move for something like gold in just a few months. But, you know, this is just the beginning. I think gold's got a long, long way to go up because the dollar has got a long way to go down. And, you know, what's my ultimate price target on gold? I don't know. It could be infinity because the dollar could be worth nothing. So we don't know. But I don't want to find out with dollars. I'd rather find out with gold. So if you don't know about the Perth Mint program, give us a call at Euro-Pacific Capital, and any of the brokers there can help you to learn about the information. You can go to my website at www.europac.net and read about the Perth Mint program as well as anything about our company. And call our 800 number at 800-727-7922. Now, we've got a caller on the line from Los Angeles. John's on the line. Go ahead.
Hey, good evening.
Good evening.
Call about your, I read your article yesterday in the Register, Orange County Register.
Well, it wasn't my article, but the article that was written about me.
About you, yeah.
Yeah, do you live in Orange County, or?
No, L.A.
Are you a client of ours?
No, I'm not.
Oh, great. So
just heard about you through that article. The question I had for you is, what is your opinion on California real estate?
Well, I mean, if you read that article, you know the answer.
Well, there were only one little small little paragraph in there, and that's why I wanted to call and ask.
Yeah, I mean that's the one. I mean, I think that real estate is in California is a bubble. I mean, there's no question about it. If that isn't a bubble, then there are no bubbles. And I have a pretty good track record of spotting bubbles because I haven't, you know, I spotted the Nasdaq bubble and, you know, long before it burst, and a lot of other bubbles over the years. But there is no question in my mind but that real estate in California, and certainly in Southern California, is dramatically overpriced. Now, I say that as somebody who's been renting houses in that area for a number of years. And so a lot of people can point out, well, you know, I could have made a lot of money had I bought instead of rented, which is true. I could have done the same thing in 1999 if I bought Internet stocks. I could have bought them and sold them to somebody else. But I chose not to participate in that type of situation because I guess I was fearful of you know, being caught holding the bag. I didn't want to participate in a situation where I was going to try to find a greater fool. And I think that's the situation with real estate. But I do know that the rent that I paid, right, on the house that I was renting in Newport Coast was a fraction of what I would have had to pay if I had bought it. And I just made the same decision for the house I'm renting here in New Canaan. I mean, the house, I'm paying a rent which basically is giving the owner of the property less than a 1% return based on what the house is worth. I mean, that's ridiculous. And that's one way to know how overvalued real estate is, if you can't rent it out at a decent rate of return. You follow me?
What's your opinion? Do you think you have a buy when? Do you think how long it'll take before this bubble will pop?
Well, I think that I already think that it's ended in Southern California. I think that the home prices right now in California are an illusion, because I think that nobody can sell. From the information that I've seen, it is extremely difficult to sell a house in Southern California right now. The supply of houses on the market in some areas like San Diego have increased tenfold in the last few months. A lot of houses are sitting on the market for 2 or 3 months, and the listings are expiring. People are dropping their price 2 or 3 times, and they still can't find one offer. So I think the supply of buyers has run out. And I think the next step is going to be where the sellers are forced to sell. And that might happen as interest rates start to rise, and a lot of people who are carrying adjustable rate mortgages can no longer make these payments. And once the banks start to lower their appraised values, then the whole thing is going to snowball. Because right now, maybe you can't sell your house, but you sure as hell can borrow against it.
So you think it could be in the next 18 months to 2 years, or?
Excuse me?
It could be within a year to 2 years, you think this will happen, where it's really bad.
I mean, it can happen a lot sooner than that.
Oh, you do?
I already think that if you still own your house, there's a good chance you can't sell. The only thing you can do is go and borrow money against it and then take that money and invest it in some foreign asset. But I think it's the biggest bubble going. I think I expect real estate in Southern California, in terms of gold bullion, in terms of, you know, New Zealand dollars or Swiss francs, I expect it to lose 90% of its value, which would mean if there's a house right now that's $3 million and you have $300,000, you can send it to me. I can invest it in something safe in, you know, in Europe or in Australia or New Zealand, or I'll buy you some gold, and I think in less than 2 years, you'll be able to take that $300,000 that you sent me, cash out whatever I bought you, and buy that house that's currently on the market for $3 million. That's the type of readjustment that's coming. Now, will California real estate go down 90% in terms of the U.S. dollar? I don't think so. I think it can come down 50 or 60% in terms of the U.S. dollar, but I don't think it will come down 90%. But I think it will come down 90% in terms of a lot of other things that you could own.
Well, 50% is pretty bloody. That's pretty bloody.
It's going to be bloody. I mean, there's no question about it. And what's going to happen? There's two constituencies that are going to get wiped out here. It's either going to be the people who bought the houses and are debtors, or the people who loaned the money and are creditors. Because when interest rates go up, there's no way that people who borrowed money to buy these houses can make these payments. So either they're going to lose their houses in foreclosure to the lender, or the government, in an effort to keep these homeowning voters from losing all their equity and losing their houses, they might create so much inflation that the homeowner is able to pay off his debt with worthless money, in which case he keeps his home, but the lender is wiped out. But in either one of these scenarios, it's a disaster. If the lender is wiped out, the dollar is practically worthless. If the debtor is wiped out, the dollar is still going to lose a lot of value because the economy is going to collapse. A lot of people are going to be unemployed. So either the dollar is going to go down a lot, or it's going to lose almost all of its value. So either way, I mean, your only solution is not to be in U.S. assets.
Yeah, I got you.
Meantime, you know, if you
what is the
sell your house,
of your office in Irvine.
Excuse me.
Or Newport. What's your number of your office in Newport?
There's an 800 number there. 800-727-7922. It's 800-727-7922. And if you can't sell your house, I mean, my next thing is make sure you don't have an adjustable rate mortgage. Make sure that you have a fixed rate for as long as you can possibly get it, you know.
The Orange County Register reported a few weeks ago that almost 80% of Orange County residents were on a veritable rate.
I know, because that's the only way.
With a 20-year low equity to value.
Yeah, that's the only way they can afford to pay these prices. But here's the nutty thing about it, right? Apparently, all these people are buying these, you know, most of them are buying, like, you know, 3 to 5 year ARMs. And the whole idea is that they're saying, well, we're going to sell the house in 3 to 5 years, so we don't need a 30-year. Sell it to who? How is everybody that's buying a house today going to sell it in 3 to 5 years? Who's going to buy? Especially if 3 to 5 years from now, interest rates are a lot higher. If they were able to qualify for the mortgage because they got a 3% rate of interest, how is somebody else going to qualify when interest rates are 7% or 10%? And if they can't sell it, how are they going to pay the mortgage payments? They can't. In fact, a lot of these people, and I wrote an article about this on my website, and you really should visit my website and read a lot of the articles I've written there about the real estate market. But I wrote an article about the fact that the best way to buy a house, to rent a house right now, is just to buy one with nothing down. Because a lot of people are doing that. You can go and buy a house right now with nothing down and get an interest-only adjustable rate mortgage. And your mortgage payment, when you consider the tax deduction, is actually cheaper than renting. And so if you can buy with nothing down, that's a great deal, right?
So the only thing you'd be losing would be ruining your credit down the road if you walk.
Well, who cares? I mean, if you can save, if you can take some and say, hey, I'll let you buy this $600,000 or $700,000 house for nothing down, right? You can lock in an interest rate for the next 5 years with interest only that's so low that it's cheaper than rent. And if the house doubles, you make a free $700,000. If the house collapses, you lose nothing.
Yeah.
And all you hurt your credit rating. And you know the problem is, when the real estate market collapses and all these people are foreclosed on, everybody's credit rating is going to be ruined. What difference is it going to make? In fact, nobody is going to be willing to loan Americans any money anyway. So it's not going to matter what your credit rating is. No one's going to want to lend you money.
Yeah, that's true.
This is a huge credit bubble. It's moral hazards because the borrowers don't care. The lenders don't care because the loans are being repackaged on Wall Street and sold. So the people who are lending the money don't own the debt. And so the people who are originating the mortgages couldn't care less. I've had conversations with lending officers when I've asked them. I said, look, how can you approve somebody for a mortgage, an adjustable rate mortgage, when the cap is, let's say, 10%, right, when they can't afford to make the payment? Sure, they can afford to make the payment at the initial teaser rate, but shouldn't you make sure they can also afford to make the payment under the worst-case scenario of the loan? Because there are people, you know, let's say you wanted to borrow and there was a fixed-rate loan and it was a fixed rate at 6.5%. If you don't have enough money to qualify for that loan, you don't have enough income to qualify for the 6.5% fixed, they'll qualify you for a 5% adjustable that has a 10% cap. And I said, well, don't you care? And they said, no. They said, we only care if they can make the payments now. We don't care if they can make them in the future. Well, isn't that nonsense?
Well, they're flipping them. They're flipping them and selling to Wall Street, and they don't
care. Yeah. So, I mean, all these loans are being originated where no one cares if they can get repaid. This is insane. And people are buying these houses. You know, I mentioned this on the show before, but I went to look at a house that was up for rent, and I talked to the broker who was renting it. And they were trying to rent the house for $3,900 a month, and he had just bought it for $1 million. And based on my calculations, he would be losing money every month based on his, you know. And the broker said, yeah, he's losing money a little bit, but he said he doesn't care. It's a great investment because it's gonna double in price in the next couple of years, and he'll sell it for profit. I'm like, well, if it's already overpriced based on the fact that you have to rent it out for a loss, why would somebody pay twice as much and lose even more money? I mean, this is not – and what this guy told me was that rents didn't matter. You know, basically, it's just like when people were telling you that dividends don't matter to stocks, now real estate brokers are telling real estate investors that rents don't matter when it comes to buying investment property, that it doesn't matter what the rent is because the price is going to go up. So even if you have negative cash flow in the deal, it's still a good investment because it's going to appreciate. This is insanity.
Pyramid scheme.
And this thing is, when this thing unravels, see, here's such a big problem for Orange County, particularly you know the Orange County area with all these adjustable rate mortgages. People don't understand how tied the Orange County economy is to the real estate market, and how much employment and how much spending is a direct result of real estate wealth. And a lot of people who have adjustable rate mortgages, their mortgage payments are very low right now. And so they have other money available to spend on dining in restaurants and shopping in shopping centers and spending all this money in the community, which generates income and employment for other residents. Well, what happens when somebody's mortgage payment goes from $3,000 a month to $7,000 a month? What happens to all that disposable income that they used to have that they were spending around town? It's gone. So what happens to all the people who depended on that? They're unemployed. So even if they have a fixed rate mortgage, they can't pay it. You know, and there's a lot of people who, you know, that their mortgage payment is going to be going up at the same time where their income is going down. And, you know, if they've already borrowed all the equity out of their house, what incentive does somebody have to make a mortgage payment when they owe $700,000 on a house that's worth $400,000?
No.
None.
What is your timeline, do you think, on the interest rates going back up to a reasonable 7 or 8%?
Well, I don't know. They're going to go up very fast, and they're going to go up a lot higher than 7 or 8%. That's the problem. Because we don't have any savings in this country. All we have is debt. So the only reason interest rates are low is because people in China and Japan are willing to lend. But once these guys wake up to the reality, if the U.S. dollar is losing, you know, 10 or 20% of its value every year, we've got to give foreigners an interest rate that recoups that loss. I mean, 6 or 7% ain't going to cut it. It's, you know, it's they're losing a ton of money lending us money. That's why nobody wants to do it. That's why it's these central banks that are doing it, because private citizens don't want to sign up for those kind of losses. This, you know, we're in a dangerous, dangerous situation, especially the U.S. government itself. I've made this argument, you know, as stupid as it is for American citizens to have adjustable rate mortgage, it's even stupider for the U.S. government to finance the national debt with treasury bills. We've got a $7.5 trillion national debt. Do you know what the average maturity is?
No.
2.5 years. So they're not. The U.S. government is not locking in the lowest interest rates in 50 years on the national debt. They're doing the exact wrong thing, just like a household. You know, they are trying to keep their short-term interest payments down so they have more money to spend on other programs. But when interest rates go up, and all of a sudden the government doesn't have to spend $300 billion a year on interest, but they have to spend $1 trillion a year on interest, where are they going to get the other $700 billion? Now, this is a real, real house of cards. And the ending is disaster, and I don't, you know, want to, you know, sound like I'm some Chicken Little or somebody that's just, you know, gloom and doom. This is what is going to happen. These are some real, real serious problems. And you just can't, you know, put a Band-Aid on them and cover them up. And unfortunately, I can't change it. You know, I mean, this is a giant, you know, ship that's gonna hit this iceberg, and there's nothing I can do to change its course. All I can do is get off and help as many of my fellow citizens as I can to protect themselves. And the way you do that is you get rid of your U.S. dollar assets. You don't want U.S. government bonds or municipal bonds or corporate bonds. You don't want U.S. stocks. You don't want U.S. real estate. You want your money in these other countries, because all the purchasing power that the dollar loses is going to show up someplace else. And so you want to own the currencies that are going to get all the purchasing power that the dollar loses. And as Americans go from being relatively wealthy people in the world to being relatively poor people, you don't want to be among them. And there's a way to do that, and that's to have your wealth out of the country now.
I'll call your office tomorrow.
Okay, great.
Appreciate it.
Looking forward to hearing from you.
Thank you.
Yeah, in case the caller was referring to an article that was written about me in the Orange County Register, it was on the front page, and it was a three-story piece, and it basically talked about the fact that I was leaving the Southern California area and had moved to Connecticut, and I'm now here on the East Coast where this broadcast is coming from you. I did it last week from this location. Anyway, I want to take one more quick break to play that message again so that other people can you can get the information. If you get a pen, you can write down the phone number of how to get a hold of us at our offices so you too can open up an account at Euro Pacific and preserve your wealth.
Euro Pacific Capital is an independent brokerage firm on a mission to inform its client base and prospective clients about economic and market events that could affect their financial security. Euro Pacific Capital seeks to provide solutions which are intended to provide safety, not risk. Solutions designed to protect our clients and their families from the U.S. government and its inflationary practices. The time to act is now, while you still have the opportunity to get your money out of the dollar. It's legal to do so, and after a consultation with one of Euro-Pacific's brokers, you will understand how this decision could ensure your financial security. We offer a full array of services ranging from retirement and trust accounts to complete financial planning, checking accounts with or without debit cards, and life insurance, even annuities. With our independent, no-nonsense investment advice that's a cut above the run-of-the-mill commentary that has passed for research for far too long on Wall Street, we suspect investors will find a home at Euro Pacific Capital.
Yeah, the article from the Orange County Register, if any of you didn't see it or you don't live in the area, it is on my website, the www.europac.net. On that website, if you go to the EuroPac in the News section, or actually even today, it's on the front page still of the website in the news, but you can look and read that story on the website. It's a good piece, and it's on, if you go to the website on the front page right now, it's the last story there. It's the title is Storm Warning, Shift Heads East, and it's from the Orange County Register from yesterday, November 9th. So you can visit the website and give that a read. It's got a lot of good stuff in it. It was a good article. I was pleased to see that. Also, I just was photographed yesterday for an article coming out about me in Forbes magazine, and I think that would be in the next issue. You know, I'm actually quoted in the current Forbes magazine as well in the piece where they do on they ask advisors about stocks that they like. So I'm there recommending Royal Dutch Petroleum, but that is in the Forbes magazine that's on the newsstands right now. But this next piece that's coming out is a much bigger piece, and it's specifically about me, I believe. It's going to be a couple of pages, and they took some nice pictures yesterday. And so that will be on the newsstand shortly, and I will let people know about that one as well. Anyway, so we have this is the last segment of the program. Let me repeat the telephone number for those of you who don't know. If you want to call in, the telephone number to call and ask me any questions, to call toll-free, it's 888-678-9597. That's 888-678-9597. Anyway, and I'll, you know, for those of you who are new to the program, I mean, Euro Pacific Capital is a company. We're a full-service broker-dealer that, I've been associated with it since 1996. It actually first began as a brokerage firm in 1980, so it's been in business for almost 25 years. I'd say we have 5,000 to 7,000 accounts. I haven't checked lately, but we have clients in 49 of the 50 states. We have clients all over the world, and we're helping people make conservative investments, and we can handle regular accounts, IRAs, pension profit-sharing accounts, SEPs, annuities. We are a traditional full-service brokerage firm, an NASD firm. We've been registered for almost 25 years. We haven't had a single complaint. I mean, anybody could check that. And we've been consistently making money for our clients, throughout the entire period of the bear market. Our clients have, in general, enjoyed very, very successful returns, and any of them could call the program and comment on those returns. If anybody has had a bad experience, call up and point that out. There's no screening in this program, and, all of my clients have been informed, both past and present, through emails and mail, that this program exists. And anybody can call up and comment about their account. But, these are not wacky, offbeat strategies that we're suggesting. We're not suggesting that people take a tremendous risk. In fact, we're trying to flee risk. That's the whole strategy here. The reality is that the risk is staying in the U.S. dollar. That's what the risk is. I'm trying to provide a solution. I'm trying to find a way to reduce risk, to remove risk, by getting out of the asset that's risky, the U.S. currency, and finding safer alternatives around the world. Now, traditionally, Wall Street regards investing internationally as risky and investing in the United States as safe, and they've got it wrong. And the reason that they think that investing outside the United States is risky is because they think you're taking currency risk. Because it's possible that if you invest outside the United States, it is possible that the dollar rises. And if the dollar rises and we've invested in foreign assets, then our assets will be worth fewer dollars. And whereas if you invest in the United States, it doesn't matter what the dollar does, whether it goes up or down, you're still going to have the same number of dollars you started with. So Wall Street looks at that as if there's no risk because you can't lose dollars. Well, the reality is, even if you don't lose $1, you're still going to go broke because the dollar is going to lose its value. So once you understand that, then you understand that the key is not to preserve how many dollars you have. The key is to preserve your purchasing power. And once you understand that it's the purchasing power that you want to preserve, not the quantity of dollars that you own, then you realize how much risk you're taking by staying in U.S. assets, and you realize that the only true conservative investments are outside the United States, because that's the only hope you have of conserving your purchasing power, and that's really what you want to conserve, not the quantity of dollars that you own. Because what good is it going to be if you own millions of dollars, but if it costs millions of dollars to buy a stick of chewing gum? So you've got to understand that. And, you know, Euro Pacific Capital, we can help you find these types of investments. And these are the types of investments that I'm making myself. I mean, I've got millions of dollars invested in all the stocks that I recommend. And I've been buying them for years. And one of the reasons I have millions of dollars invested is because the investments that I've been buying have done well. I mean, it's not that everything that I've bought, I have a couple of stocks that have gone down. But by and large, the vast majority of the stocks I own are worth substantially more than what I paid for them in dollars, and I've collected a lot of dividend income, which I have used to accumulate more of these assets. And I'm sharing these strategies with my clients, and by and large, the clients are doing very, very well. What one who called the program earlier, but many others who haven't called, and many of them who do call could share the same story. And again, what's really responsible for these tremendous returns is not that I'm a genius at stock picking. I'm not. In fact, you know, I recognize that I'm not a genius at stock picking. That's why I'm buying the safest stocks that I can find, because I don't want to screw up. And that's what we're doing. We're buying income. We're buying dividends. You know, and if you're buying a stock with an 8 or 9 or 10% dividend, that's all you need is a dividend. But then if you get, you know, the dollar dropping 10 or 20% a year, now you're getting a 20 or 30% return just on currency and dividends. Then if the stock happens to go up, it's huge. But even if the stock doesn't go up, you're getting a great return. That's how easy it is right now if you're investing outside the United States. I mean, I don't think I do very well investing in the United States. It's difficult because you got to buy stocks that pay no dividends, and they're overvalued. And most of them are probably going to go down. You know, so why even bother to try to figure out how to make money in U.S. stocks, because it's so difficult? And even if you make any money, you're still going to lose because the dollar is going to lose value. So the easiest thing to do is just find the safest stocks around the world, find out what the widows and orphans are buying in Europe and in Asia and in Canada, and buy those things. And you're going to do really well as long as the U.S. is on this course. And there's no way, you know, to change the course that we're on. That's the unfortunate situation here. We have put ourselves in a position. Alan Greenspan, the Bush administration, have put this country into a position where there's no way out. Because the only way to stop a spiral of inflation and the collapsing dollar is to substantially increase short-term interest rates. But that's the one thing that they can't do because of so many people, including the federal government itself, but the majority of American corporations and American individual households have all this short-term debt. And if short-term interest rates go up, they can't service it. And the whole house of cards comes tumbling down. So the one tool they have to shore up the dollar and stop the inflation is the one tool they can't use. So that's why they're damned if they do and they're damned if they don't. This is a catch-22. There is no way out. Either choice they make is a disaster. It's just that one choice is a bigger disaster than the other, so they've got to pick their poison. Do they want to destroy the creditors? Do they want to destroy the debtors? Or end up destroying both? But either way, you're going to lose if your assets are in the United States. So you have to recognize this no-win choice for the politicians and the central bankers. And all they're going to do, since there's no way to win this, they're just going to keep going along and lying to the public and hope that the con can continue for another election. And just postpone it and postpone it as long as they possibly can, because they don't want to face the music, because they don't like the tune. And you know, I'm not happy that this is the news. You know, don't shoot the messenger. You know, I'm telling you this, you know, because this is the reality. And it doesn't do any good just to ignore it and just to go broke. And as I said before, a lot of people think, well, what is it? Maybe it's not, you know, it's patriotic. We got to, you know, support the United States. It's not patriotic. It's not patriotic to go broke with everybody else. What's patriotic is to preserve as much of your wealth as you can. Right? That's what's patriotic. Because if you don't go broke, if you get your money out of the country now, that means you'll be able to bring it back later to help rebuild this country. What we're going to have to do, we're going to have to rebuild an industrial society again. We're going to have to build factories. And where's the money going to come from? It's going to come from the money that we've already got out of the country that we could bring back. Because otherwise, all the factories are going to be owned by the Europeans and the Asians. Because Americans aren't going to have any money. The money that we're going to have is going to be the money that's out of the country now, that's safe, that we can bring back in to help rebuild an industrial America, assuming that the government allows that to happen, you know, by maintaining or returning us to a low-tax, low-regulation environment so that it makes sense for us to bring our capital home. But it doesn't make any sense to go bankrupt just because of some false sense of patriotic duty not to abandon U.S. assets. No, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. My strategy is the only patriotic strategy that there is. And the key is, you know, to get rid of your dollars now, because every dollar we sell is another dollar that a foreigner is going to get stuck with, as opposed to an American, which would be you. You know, so we want to make sure that we own as much of their stuff as we can before the bubble bursts. And that's what it is. It's just one giant bubble that is sprouting all these other bubbles in the real estate market, in the stock market, in the bond market. But the whole U.S. economy is this giant bubble, and it all results from the overvalued dollar and the fact that the world is involved in this giant vendor financing Ponzi scheme where they lend Americans money to buy the products that they produce. And Americans simply consume without producing and borrow without saving. And we get to live this fantastic life because we don't have to work, right? I mean, saving is painful. Underconsumption, we don't deny ourselves anything. All we do is have fun and spend and indulge ourselves at the rest of the world's expense. And at some point, they're going to get tired of supporting us. And make sure that when they do, you don't still own U.S. currency. So anyway, we're coming towards the end of the program. We're running out of time. Thank you for listening. Again, anyone who missed this broadcast, if you tell your friends, they could listen to the rebroadcast on the website at www.europac.net. Also, please call our offices to open up an account at 800-727-7922. That's 800-727-7922. And again, this has been Peter Schiff with your weekly edition of Wall Street Unspun, the midweek market update or outlook, and I will see you again at the same time, or talk to you again at the same time next week. Look forward to talking to you again. Thanks for listening.